The World Health Organization says computer and video game addiction is a thing, a mental health disorder. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The World Health Organization today released a new list of official medical conditions, and this new list, for the first time, includes gaming disorder, when people obsessively play video and computer games. Now, this is a mental health story, a public health resource story, and a big entertainment industry story. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this from London. Good morning to you, Anu.
Hi, David.
So, what is gaming disorder?
You know that reaction when you've played a video game, I can't put it down? That's basically it in a nutshell. There's no drugs, no substances involved, but it's when gaming takes precedence over other normal activities. So when it affects a person's sleep, their diet, their exercise, maybe their relationships, when that gamer also cannot control the behavior. So the World Health Organization says it has to have happened over at least a year. But experts say, you know, there are millions of gamers around the world, and this probably only applies to a small percentage.
All right, but need we even remind people that this stuff is very big business?
It is indeed. Around the world, you're talking about roughly 2.5 billion people who are playing video games, digital and mobile games, and the annual revenue for the entire industry is expected to grow 31% to $180 billion within 3 years, so by 2021.
So the World Health Organization puts gaming disorder on a list. Why is that in itself important?
Well, the document they're putting it into, the International Classification of Diseases, that's kind of a public health Bible. It sets the international standard for what is a condition or what is a disease, what's the definition. Here in the UK, because we have a public health system which follows these guidelines, the National Health Service here in Britain might now treat gaming disorder.
Maybe insurance companies in the U.S.?
Exactly. If it is classified as an official thing, then gamers might actually go looking for help. And yes, insurance companies might actually cover it.
But the definition is controversial. Not everyone agrees that it's the right thing to classify excessive gaming as a disorder.
That's right. Some experts are saying, look, gaming is just a symptom. It's not a condition by itself. So if you've got a child or an adult who is spending hours and hours gaming, they're lying, sneaking away from homework, you know, neglecting eating and socializing, it might well be a sign of anxiety and depression, and they're just finding some kind of comfort in gaming. And one expert was making the point that understanding the kind of game that someone is gravitating towards is really important if we're going to understand why someone would get addicted to it.
The BBC's Anu Anand in London. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
And you can hear an early edition of the Marketplace Morning Report with Anu in our podcast feed every day. We recently heard from Tom in Basel, Switzerland, who wrote to tell us that he appreciates and trusts the way that Marketplace analyzes the economy without foolishness or bias, and makes him think about issues in different ways. Now, if you agree with Tom, please join him as a Marketplace investor by donating online at marketplace.org. Thanks to Tom and everyone who makes our work possible. People who've lost their own friends and family to suicide have had a variety of reactions to the topic being thrust high up the news agenda this month with designer Kate Spade and chef writer host Anthony Bourdain. Well, here is the statistic from the Centers for Disease Control. The U.S. suicide rate is up 25% since 1999. Researchers say this is a public health crisis that needs a lot more attention and funding. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank has more.
Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S., and it's on the rise. But we have no idea why.
We have the science of suicide that we've paid for, which is to say, not much.
That's Dr. April Foreman with the American Association of Suicidology.
The reason we don't have good answers is that we fund suicide-related research at a fraction of the other kinds of research for other causes of death.
Last year, about $100 million was spent on suicide research, according to the National Institutes of Health, compared to $690 million on breast cancer, for example, which claims fewer lives. The CDC says more than half of Americans who die by suicide have no known mental health problems. Jane Pearson oversees suicide research at the National Institute of Mental Health.
We would think there's a number of those folks who did not have a diagnosis that were missed by the healthcare system.
There's also the stigma associated with seeking treatment for issues like depression or substance abuse, says Rajiv Ramchand at the RAND Corporation.
We can't rely on mental health alone. It's around a third of people with mental health conditions actually access treatment.
Public funding for suicide research has been mostly flat in recent years. Dr. April Foreman says the issue also doesn't attract private dollars in the same way as, say, Alzheimer's or AIDS.
Historically, it's been something that people have maybe some hard time feeling sympathy for.
Foreman says not only is more research needed to figure out how to bring suicide rates down, mental health providers need to be better trained.
The research is very clear that 9 out of 10 licensed mental health providers could not pass a basic competency exam in suicide risk management and intervention.
While President Trump's proposed budget for next year would expand mental health treatment for veterans, it also slashes funding for federal mental health agencies. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
Also today, the CEO of Audi was arrested in Germany in connection with the Dieselgate scandal. Parent company Volkswagen has long insisted Rupert Stadler has nothing to do with the diesels that overpolluted and were rigged to fool emissions tests. Authorities had searched Stadler's apartment last week, and reportedly there was a concern about evidence tampering. VW stock is down 3.2%. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.